the economy as it is these days and the effect it may have on your finances, it's easy to fall into the trap of worrying. I am Rob West. We should be concerned about high inflation, rising interest rates, and the Wall Street roller coaster. But when concern turns to worry, that's a problem. I'll talk about how to overcome it today with Jim Neuheiser. Then it's on to your calls at 800-525-7000. That's 800-525-7000. This is MoneyWise on American Family Radio, biblical wisdom for your financial journey. Well, we're excited to welcome our guest, Jim Neuheiser, today. He's a former financial consultant and a gifted author on biblical finance. Jim, delighted to have you with us.
Thank you so much.
Jim, we're taking a peek inside your latest book. I love it. It's a 31-day devotional titled Money, Seeking God's Wisdom. And our topic today is on worry. Now, I should mention first that all through November and December, we're offering this devotional for a gift of any amount at moneywise.org. Just click the donate button at the top of the page. Now, Jim, on day 9 of your devotional, you hit on a subject that many listeners may be experiencing these days, and that's, of course, worry, especially worry as it relates to money. So what would you share with them?
Well, I so much appreciate that Jesus addresses very directly our worry when he says in Matthew 6:25, do not be worried about your life is what you will eat, or your what you will drink, nor your body is what you will put on. And he goes on to describe how as God clothes the fields, he cares for the birds, that our faith can be small when we don't trust our Father to care for us. And yeah, when I look at this passage, I'm particularly amazed because they're worried about food and clothing and just necessities. We're usually worried about our investments and our pensions and things like that.
Yeah, that's exactly right. So what is he really saying to his disciples and to us as well in this passage as you read it?
Well, when you get down to the famous verse 33, he's saying, seek first God's kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. And our calling in this life is to serve the Lord, and that can be through our vocation. Not everybody's a missionary or in ministry, but to fulfill the calling God has given us and then to trust that he will meet our needs.
Yeah, that's exactly right. And there's something fascinating about money, isn't there, Jim, in the sense that, you know, Larry Burkett used to say the way we handle money is the clearest indicator into what's going on in our lives spiritually. It's a tangible demonstration of where we've placed our trust. And perhaps when we worry, it's a sign that we're looking in the wrong place for security and even peace, right?
Absolutely. And you know, when Jesus even chides his disciples, he says, oh, you have little faith. And I think we all struggle with really being able to trust God, especially when circumstances are difficult and you've seen your retirement fund lose a lot of its value and stock market and inflation. And, you know, there may be responsible things we should do about that. Jesus also says in verse 34, every day is enough trouble of its own. But ultimately, we have to put our hope in God and not in our investments.
Yeah. So what does it look like to keep maybe just one foot in this world, but focus on what is to come, the eternal perspective? How do we do that, Jim?
Paul said that whether alive or dead, my aim is to be pleasing to him. And I think just to focus upon loving God with all of our heart, mind, soul, and strength, and that our mission in this life is to fulfill the course he's given us to run. Part of that is to provide and to be financially responsible, but not to make this life everything. In the preceding context, Jesus warns against storing treasure up on earth. Instead, we should be most concerned about treasures in heaven.
I love that. That's the treasure principle. Let's talk about that just for a moment here in our final seconds together. I think there's something about holding what we have loosely and giving generously that breaks the grip of money and really affects perhaps this worry that we have. Is that your experience?
Absolutely. That there's such joy in being able to support the Lord's work, the church, missions, and that's an act of faith. We're expressing the faith Jesus says we lack when we say, I really trust God will provide for me even though I don't have this. And I trust my life will be better, maybe with a lifestyle reduction and his work being done.
Well, and that no doubt will take your mind off the worry and put it where it should be on trusting the Lord for everything he has provided. Jim, grateful to have a few moments with you today. Thanks for stopping by.
It was my pleasure.
That's author Jim Neuheiser. His devotional, Money, Seeking God's Wisdom, is available with any gift at moneywise.org. We'll be right back with your calls and questions. Stick around.
On American Family Radio. Hi, I'm Barry McGuire. I'm a layman here to remind you that faith sharing is a barometer for your spiritual health. If you're thinking that sharing your faith is something you do as a special program or at a special time or place or only with certain people, I've got news for you. Sharing your faith is to be integrated into every hour, every day, with everyone you meet, in everything you do or say. Lots of everys in that sentence, but that's what sharing your faith is all about. So much a part of you that just pours out all over the place. It just becomes doing what comes naturally. Sharing your faith is sharing the best news ever, and why wouldn't you want to do that? It's not about you. It's about God loving people through you, telling everyone he loves them. Got it? When you do, believe me, it just keeps getting better and better. Get help sharing your faith at igniteamerica.com.
We are grateful for support from Sound Mind Investing in the MoneyWise program. For more than 30 years, they've been helping Christians reach their financial goals with step-by-step guidance for investors at every stage, from those just getting started to those getting ready for retirement. Through scriptural principles and practical suggestions, SMI offers financial wisdom for living well. More information, including the short video webinar on profit and peace of mind no matter what's happening in the market, is available at soundmindinvesting.org.
To sharpen the biblical worldview of Christians and to share the good news of Jesus Christ. That is the mission of the Christian Worldview Radio program. I'm host David Wheaton, inviting you to join us this Saturday morning at 9 Eastern, 8 Central, as we discuss all matters of life and faith from a decidedly biblical perspective. The Christian Worldview, Saturday mornings at 9 Eastern, 8 Central, right here on American Family Radio.
When it comes to caring for your family, there's one critically important thing many people fail to do before the Lord calls them home. That one thing is to set your house in order. Organize important documents and account information for your loved ones. Create a will and more. If it sounds intimidating, don't worry. The 5-week Set Your House in Order study makes it easy with step-by-step instructions. And you can request your copy with your gift of $25 or more at moneywise.org/house.
Do you feel like your hands are tied with debt, preventing you from serving God? If you have credit card debt, Christian credit counselors can help. Through our debt management program, we can get you out of credit card debt about 80% faster while honoring your debt in full. For more information on how Christian credit counselors can help, visit ChristianCreditCounselors.org. That's ChristianCreditCounselors.org. Or call 800-557-1985. 800-557-1985.
Thrilled to have you with us today on MoneyWise on American Family Radio. I'm Rob West. We're taking your calls and questions today as we turn the corner to anything financial. The number to call today is 800-525-7000. We have lines open. You can get through quickly, and we'd love to hear from you. Again, 800-525-7000 with whatever is on your mind, be it your spending plan as we try to accommodate for all of this inflation around us. Maybe it's your long-term savings and the investment portfolio you're wrestling with. We'd love to talk about that, or debt repayment or giving or whatever it is that you have on your mind today. We'd love to hear from you. Again, 800-525-7000. Also coming up on the broadcast today, we'll tackle a few of your emails. Also, Bob Dahl joins us in our last segment. Bob is Chief Investment Officer at Crossmark Global Investments. Bob will weigh in on the recent strength save yesterday and maybe a slight sell-off today. We've had some incredible strength in the market the last 4 weeks. Bob will weigh in on what that is a result of. Give us his insights on why the market has been moving higher over the last 4 weeks. Also, he'll weigh in on the Fed meeting that kicked off today, what we're expecting there. Also, the latest on corporate earnings. All of that plus inflation really driving the markets right now. And we'll get Bob's take on all of it. That's coming up later in the broadcast. Today, I'll also weigh in on one of the Bible's most often misquoted passages. It has to do with money. I'll tell you what it is and my take on it. We'll weigh in on that a little later in the broadcast. And of course, your questions as well, 800-525-7000. Before we take your questions today, some news out from the Treasury about I-bonds. Yeah, we've been talking about I-bonds a good bit lately because until yesterday or through yesterday, the rate was incredibly attractive at 9.62%. These bonds issued by the U.S. Treasury and backed by the United States government, where you have to leave them in for a year, offered really compelling rates because inflation is so high. Well, that rate adjusts every 6 months, and we've been waiting to hear what that new rate will be. Well, the Treasury just announced that the Series I bond rate for the next 6 months is 6.89%, nearly 7%. So still a very attractive rate for those of you who want to put in up to $10,000 per year per person. So for this calendar year, you can put in up to $10,000. These are electronic bonds. The only place to buy them is at treasurydirect.gov. And for the next 6 months, you would get 6.89% with almost zero risk because it's backed by the full faith and credit of the United States government. Now, what money should you consider putting in I-bonds? Because I've heard from some folks saying, should I pull out of the stock market to put in this? Should I take a distribution from my retirement account for I-bonds? The answer is no and no. If the money that you're talking about has a time horizon, I would say, of greater than 5 years, you're much better off to keep it invested in a properly diversified stock and bond portfolio. You're going to do better over time. This is a temporary spike in the rate on the I-bonds, and I'd much rather you take a long-term perspective and get the long-term compounded growth, especially as this market recovers. We don't know when. We've seen some strength lately. It's probably not going to go straight up from here, but as it recovers fully and then moves to higher ground, you want to be there. That's going to be the best place to build wealth over time. The I-bonds really are for money that has a time horizon of 1 to 5 years, where you would have been in a cash account or a cash equivalent like a CD. You're looking for safety. You're looking for a shorter time horizon between 1 and 5 years. That's where the I-bonds really can excel, because as long as you've got 12 months to be able to get now 6.89% for the next 6 months, and then whatever rate we'll see after that, probably slightly lower, although still very attractive given the safety and the time horizon, that's a great opportunity for you to buy these I-bonds while we're experiencing 40-year high inflation. So if you'd like to learn more, just head to treasurydirect.gov. It's the only place to go. And again, the new rate out this morning for the next 6 months, 6.89%. We've had a lot of folks asking about that. All right, to the phones we go. 800-525-7000, Corpus Christi, Texas. Hey, Randy, you'll be our first caller. Go right ahead, sir.
Yes, sir. I've got a question on the new pensions that's going on now with the government. If you take the lump sum, you'll take that penalty. Do you also take that penalty if you take the annuity with, say, 50-50, 50 lump sum and 50 the annuity? Do you still take the hit on that 50% lump sum if you wait till after the first of the year?
Yeah, that is a good question. You know, I don't have clarity on the answer to that, Randy, and so I would hate to weigh in on that without doing a bit more research. What is it you're thinking of doing at this point?
I haven't really decided yet. I was wanting to do lump sum, but I had a year to work.
Yeah.
And it's kind of scaring me if I wait a year to do the lump sum, because I'm going to take a big hit right off the top.
Yes. Versus you could take the lump sum now and do better. Is that what they're telling you?
Yes, sir. If you do by November 30th, if you retire, you take no hit. You get the full amount.
Okay. And why would you wait? What would be the advantage of that as you think through this?
My plan was to work till I was 62.
Yeah.
I've got a year, 2 months.
Yeah. Got it. Yeah, I mean, obviously you need to look at that and perhaps getting some advice from a financial planner who could help you just crunch those numbers, both from a tax perspective as well as the benefit that you would receive as you pull out of that. I like the lump sum option just because that's going to give you ultimate flexibility. You can take that money and deploy it, invest it in a tax-deferred environment, and take advantage of some compounded growth at an appropriate risk level for your age and stage of life. But you get access to the money if you need it, right? So the principal balance is still available if you needed to dive into it down the road for, you know, long-term care or some unexpected medical expenses, something unforeseen that required access to that capital. Whereas when you tie it up in the annuity, yes, you're transferring the risk to the insurance company, but you're losing access to the money without penalties and surrender charges. So I think the lump sum is attractive. I realize balancing that retirement date with the benefit of not taking the hit on the lump sum distribution is tricky, and that's where I think some planning would really help you. If you don't have an advisor, Randy, I'd recommend you head to our website, moneywise.org, click find a CKA, and find somebody who, you know, you could just pay for their time, a financial planner, not necessarily an investment advisor, unless you feel like you also need that service, to just really help you think through this and crunch the numbers. And we'll ask the Lord to give you some wisdom as you navigate that as well. Thanks for checking in with us today, sir. 800-525-7000. Jeff in Ohio, how can we help you?
Yes, my question is, we have five children. My wife and I were getting up in age, and we've accumulated some real estate quite a bit, and then we have about $5 million. Well, our dilemma, my dilemma is, we have a daughter that married this person, and so he said he was a Christian, and I have never felt good about it from the beginning. Mm. So now he's taken her out of church. Mm. Well, she quit going to church due to him. He drinks and does things that a Christian shouldn't do. So my question is, I really don't want to leave him any money. They have two children, and they're not raising them right. And so my question is, I don't want to leave him any money, but what do I do about the other four? I definitely want to leave them, you know, all that we have. But.
Sure. Yep. Boy, this is a tough one, Jeff. It can be really challenging. I've got to take a quick break. If you'll stay right there, I'd love to weigh in on the other side of this break. We'll be right back with Jeff and much more on MoneyWise. Stay with us.
AFR programming is now available on Alexa.
You're joking, right?
Nope, not joking.
Seriously?
Yep, this is not a drill.
Wait a minute. No way.
There's a way. The Alexa way. So if you just happen to miss your favorite shows, no worries. You can now listen to each podcast with Alexa. It's simple and it's free. Just visit afr.net/apps and click Alexa. We're not joking.
Siri, what's the best way to save for college?
I'm not sure.
Well, what does the Bible say about co-signing for a loan or investing for retirement?
I don't know that either. But you can find those answers on the free MoneyWise app.
Really?
Sure. You can connect with the online community and get answers and encouragement from MoneyWise coaches.
That sounds great. Siri, download the MoneyWise app.
Got it. Learn more at MoneyWise.org.
What does the American Family Association stand for? AFA aims to evangelize the lost and disciple the believer. AFA aims to strengthen biblical marriages and equip parents to raise godly children. These values and more are part of our mission to inform, equip, and activate individuals to strengthen the moral foundations of our culture. We also support the church. We want to be a leading organization in biblical worldview training for cultural transformation. Thank you for standing with us.
Hey, Greg, I need some advice.
Oh, what's up?
I'm really struggling with finding ways to cut back. With costs going up, especially in healthcare, what do you guys do?
Oh, we use CHM, Christian Healthcare Ministries. It's a health cost sharing ministry that's been sharing members' eligible medical bills for over 40 years. Sure helped us stick to our budget. And here's the website, chministries.org. chministries.org.
This year has just flown by. I know, it's already November.
As 2022 comes to a close, the AFA Foundation would like to invite you to make a planned gift to American Family Association. Consider the many ways your planned gift can help restore a biblical worldview in our nation, as well as bring financial stability to your family. Call 800-326-4543, extension 345, or visit our website at afafoundation.net.
How should we as Christians think about investing? What if we could invest our money in a way that aligns with what we believe? At Eventide, we believe it is possible to love God and love our neighbor in the very practice of investing. We design investments for performance and a better world so you can invest for the future with a sense of wholeness and purpose. We call this investing that makes the world rejoice. More information is available at investeventide.com.
Great to have you with us today on MoneyWise as we apply God's wisdom from the Word to our financial decisions and choices each day. What's on your mind today, financially speaking? We'd love to hear from you. We have lines open, 800-525-7000. Just before the break, we were talking to Jeff. Jeff and his wife have accumulated quite a bit in the way of assets and really just wondering how to be faithful in that as they think about wealth transfer in light of inheritances with their kids. In one particular case, their daughter has married someone who has, as a result of his influence, they have walked away from regular attendance in church, and he's making some challenging lifestyle choices that Jeff is concerned about, and all of that is playing into their inheritance decisions. Jeff, my first question would be, as you and your wife think through this and pray about it, what is it that you would like to do just in terms of thinking through inheritance, specifically as it relates to your daughter and her husband?
Well, I just don't, he doesn't want to work. He's not motivated. And my daughter works real hard, and he just drinks, and pardon the expression, he just seems to be like a bum. And I just don't want to leave him anything, but I don't know how to do that. I definitely want to leave the other children, of course, everything that we have.
Yeah.
Have
you talked to her about this, your daughter, and have you all discussed this? No. Okay.
No, she's not at all. She wouldn't want to hear it, I'm sure.
Yeah. Well, certainly, Jeff, I mean, these are challenging. It doesn't get any more difficult than this as you think and pray through it. I think the first thing to do is to recognize the decision you make today doesn't have to be permanent. So you can make a decision based on what you feel like is the best scenario today, and that can change over time. I think second, the principle that my friend and author Ron Blue reminds us of often that flies in the face of what we think as Americans we have to do, because we just tend to think we have to do everything equal. He says, if you love your children equally, you will treat them uniquely. And I think that's an important principle to consider here, because as we think through what this money will do, and it just tends to become a fuel in your child's life, the question is, what is that fuel pointing toward, and what do we think will ultimately come out of it? You know, the questions we have to ask ourselves whenever we're thinking about inheritance, among others, are, number one, what do I hope for my child? What is it that I hope by leaving this inheritance would happen? And then secondly, okay, based on that, what would I anticipate or expect just based on the where they're at in their own lives, the decisions that are being made, and so forth? And then thirdly, do I have any concerns? And clearly you and your wife do, Jeff, and I think you need to allow that to drive you, because the last thing you'd want to do would be to leave an inheritance that's going to fuel these decisions that perhaps could push them even further away from God and even propel some of these lifestyle choices that are being made to, you know, perhaps even get a bit more acute. So I think you're on the right track here. And I think the next step is really, once you all pray through it and decide how you'd like to handle it, then to visit with an estate planning attorney who can really memorialize this for you. And then I think just, you know, the next question is whether or not you communicate that clearly up front with your heart behind it so that your kids understand what's being done and why. I realize that could be difficult and may even cause a strain in the relationship. So you're going to have to choose how to navigate that. But I think, first of all, it's just really you all praying through it and deciding exactly what you want done. And then secondly, putting that into place through the estate plan that you would create, and then just recognize that as God intervenes, and certainly I suspect this has been a matter of prayer, it will continue to be a matter of prayer, that the Lord would grab hold of his heart, bring them together around oneness in a God-honoring relationship, pursue the Lord, get back in church, and let's just pray that that's where this ultimately goes. And obviously, as that plays out, you all would have the opportunity to make some changes here. Have you visited with a godly estate attorney, Jeff, to do some estate planning?
No, we haven't, no.
Okay. So that's really the next step for you after you make the decision on what you'd like to do to put that into place. And that's pretty important just so that your wishes are honored at death and you can go through not only the process of the documents to execute that, but even perhaps, sharing the stories of why you made the decisions that you've made. I also think there's a great resource that could be helpful to you on this topic. The very best book on just thinking through the why of estate planning from a biblical viewpoint is a book called Splitting Heirs from Ron Blue. And I'd love to send that to you as our gift. Perhaps as you and your wife read through that together, that will give you some, a roadmap, if you will, to kind of think and process this decision, just because I know it can be so challenging. Does that sound good?
That sounds good, yes. Yeah. Thank you for your time.
Absolutely, Jeff. You hang on the line. We'll get your information, and we'll get Splitting Heirs out to you today, and we appreciate your call. You know, folks, it doesn't get any more difficult than this as we think through those wealth transfer decisions. What is it we hope for our kids? And then what do we anticipate or expect will happen? And what concerns do we have as we execute our wealth transfer plans? This is our final and last stewardship decision that we will make. The last thing we'd want to do is cause money to be a hindrance between our kids and the Lord, which it absolutely can do, depending upon where they're at in their lives. In many cases, a great opportunity, rather than just automatically leaving it all to the kids, would be to get the kids involved in giving it away. All of it or a portion of it, that's ultimately up to you. But helping to create that attitude of gratitude and fostering and encouraging generosity, even doing that as a family, can be, I think, really effective as well. But these are challenging conversations and decisions. And again, that book, Splitting Heirs, I think could be a great resource for any of you out there that are really wrestling with these conversations right now. It'll be a great guide and comes at it from an entirely biblical perspective. The author is Ron Blue, and you can pick up a copy wherever you get your books. Folks, a lot more to come on MoneyWise today. We've got some lines open. We'd love to hear from you. What's on your mind? The number to call, 800-525-7000. We'll take a quick break and back with much more right after this. Stay with us.
You probably have a strategy for your finances, your career, even your retirement. But do you have a strategy for your giving? At the National Christian Foundation, we can help you create a giving strategy to inspire your family, maximize your resources, and leave a lasting legacy of faith. To learn how, visit moneywise.org/NCF.
They say actions speak louder than words. Here at the American Family Association, we take that to heart. AFA Action is here to inform and help you get involved in cultural and moral issues. You can also sign up for our AFA Action Alert, which will inform you about these issues every week by email. To sign up and for more information, visit us at afaaction.net. Why are you still sitting there? If you want change, it starts with you.
We are grateful for support from Sound Mind Investing in the MoneyWise program. If you have money in a retirement account or just a general investing account, you know the stock market can sometimes seem like a roller coaster. But it is possible to enjoy both profit and peace of mind in investing, no matter what's happening in the market. You can see a short video webinar on that topic at soundmindinvesting.org. Since 1990, Sound Mind Investing has sought to offer financial wisdom for living well. Soundmindinvesting.org.
Sometimes you just need a little guidance to help point you in the right direction.
In 300 feet, turn right.
If you're feeling lost when it comes to your finances, we're here to help. You can connect with a trained MoneyWise coach absolutely free. A MoneyWise coach can help you build a personal budget, develop a plan to knock out your debt, and more. Visit MoneyWise.org/connect. That's MoneyWise.org/connect.
Hello, I'm Sam Rohr, president of the American Pastors Network, a growing national network of pastors committed to the authority of Scripture and preaching the whole counsel of God. We believe biblical obedience is the foundation for revival, and impacting our culture for Christ is our duty. For too long, the pulpits of America have been silent on the important issues such as marriage and family and assault on our liberty. Join us in the battle for truth on Stand in the Gap Weekend, Sunday evenings at 6 p.m. on American Family Radio, and visit us at AmericanPastorsNetwork.org.
My name is Kent, and I'm a member of Christian Healthcare Ministries. I have a friend who actually has great insurance, and she recently had a life-threatening experience. And she was laying in the hospital bed afraid, not afraid for her life, but afraid of what her insurance would or would not cover. And as a CHM member, I can honestly say I just never have that fear. I can't tell you the peace of mind that provides.
Learn more about Christian Healthcare Ministries' biblical cost sharing at chministries.org.
This is American Family Radio, a listener-supported ministry of the American Family Association.
Thanks for joining us today on MoneyWise on American Family Radio. I'm Rob West, your host. We're taking your calls and questions today for the next 25 minutes or so, 800-525-7000. Also coming up on the broadcast in our next segment, Bob Dahl stops by. Bob is Chief Investment Officer at Crossmark Global Investments. Bob will weigh in on stocks and the recent strength we've seen in the markets over the last 4 weeks. A bit of a minor sell-off today, at least on the Dow Jones. The other index is largely flat, but we'll get Bob's take on inflation, the Fed meeting that just kicked off today, where we expect a lot of additional insights from the Fed, not only an interest rate hike, but really the commentary around it that the market will be watching. Also, earnings and a whole lot of other factors that Bob is monitoring, and we'll get his take in just a moment. Back to your questions in just a moment as well. We did have a caller, Sherry, who called in and wanted to know about a condo sale. She said, my son's condo is for sale. We've not had one offer in 3 weeks. What can we do? He is moving because of his job. And clearly, Sherry, I think what your question illustrates is the changes that we've seen in the housing market as of late. That red hot housing market that had 10 plus offers in 24 hours has gone by the wayside, largely due to the prospect of recession, but even more importantly, the significant rise we've seen over 400 basis points higher on mortgage interest rates, now with the 30-year rate over 7%. As a result of that, we've seen a rapid cooling of the housing market. Still not a significant decline in housing prices, although they have started to dip. But really, I think the main effect is just homes on the market longer. So we're back to kind of those rules, those conventional rules for selling a property that had temporarily been set on hold because people were just in somewhat of a frenzy to buy. So when a home is not selling, whether it's a condo or a single family home, we've got to look at, first of all, do we have the right price? Have we been too aggressive at setting the price and we've essentially priced ourselves out of the market? We've got to be honest. And that's where a real estate professional can really help you establish that right selling price based on the comparative market analysis and the closed sales in the area that are fairly recent. The second is make sure that we're staging the property. You know, this might seem like a trivial exercise, and it's not. A home that is too cluttered, has too much in the way of your own personal family effects and photos, homes that have bright colored walls. I mean, things that can be easily rectified by maybe taking a couple of pieces of furniture out and removing, instead of 16 family photos, maybe we have four, and, things like that, that will help to stage the home and make it a bit more appealing. And then thirdly, what is the marketing strategy? And do you have a professional who really has a proven marketing strategy to get it out there? Not only just putting it on the multiple listing service, but what other marketing opportunities are available? And who are the real estate professionals that most commonly work in your condo so that perhaps they could be reached out to? They may even have buyers waiting in the wing. So there are things that can be done, starting with looking at that price. But unfortunately, I think you're just going to need to be a bit more patient, Sherry, than maybe you would have had to be 6 months ago. But that's just the nature of this changing real estate market. I'm confident it will sell if it's priced right and you've got it staged properly and you market it appropriately. It's just might take a little bit longer. Thanks for your call, Sherry. We appreciate it very much. Back to the phones, 800-525-7000. Anita in Lafayette, Louisiana. Go right ahead. How can I help you? Hi, Anita. Are you there?
Hi. Yes. Oh, I'm sorry. I thought you said Lafayette. I'm in Shreveport. I'm sorry.
Okay.
I just said Louisiana.
No problem.
Shreveport, Louisiana.
Very good. How can
Lafayette,
I assist
the other
you?
End.
Okay.
Yes. I have... Like right now, about 420 in my 401k, and I'm 59. I'll be 60 in January. I'm still working, but my husband is retired. He has a pension, and we just built a house. Worst time, but it took 3 years. But my husband was a contractor. But we have a construction loan at 4.5% that we have to pay off, and we're trying to decide whether to refinance it or. But it'll be a high interest rate now, or to use my 401k.
Yeah, I see. What is the balance on that mortgage?
It'll probably be around $265,000, but we also have to sell the house we're living in, which we have some equity, probably $100,000. But
okay. And so, do you know if there's a feature on that construction loan that allows it to be converted to a permanent loan?
There's not, because my husband was the contractor, and they only allow that if it's a licensed contractor.
Got it. Got it. Yes, ma'am. Okay. I'm not excited about, even if you sell the house and you put $100,000 on it and you're looking for a $165,000 mortgage, I'm not excited about you pulling $165,000 out of that 401k. Number one, the market is down. I'd love for you to be able to allow that to recover. Number two, that's going to create quite the taxable event. Even if you're beyond 59 and a half and you miss the penalty, you're still going to add all of that to your taxable income in 1 year, which is going to create a bit of a tax jump in terms of you'll probably push that portion up even into a higher tax bracket. So as a result of that, I think as long as you've got good cash flow, how long are you planning to continue to work?
As long as I'm able.
Okay. All right. So you're in good health and you plan to work perhaps for 5+ years?
Yes.
Okay. And you all, do you think you could absorb the mortgage either at 265 or 165 if you wait till the home sells?
What do you mean absorb the mortgage?
Do you have enough cash flow to cover the mortgage payment?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, so you're fine there. Yeah, I just don't like the idea of pulling that out of the 401k. As much as I would love for you not to have a mortgage at 7%, and maybe you could get it down a little lower with going with a 15-year mortgage if you've got good cash flow between your work and his pension, I'd love for you to leave that 401k alone. Go ahead and lock in that mortgage. If you need to go ahead and do it, you could do it at the 265. Obviously, the longer you can wait, the better, because if you can wait till you sell your current home, then you're getting a smaller mortgage at 165. Let that 401k recover and continue to grow. Keep adding to it. And then if you guys have plenty of margin, maybe you accelerate the payoff of that mortgage. One option is you get a 30-year and you pay it like a 15, or you get a 15 and try to make, a little extra on the payment each month, or at least one extra payment a year, and that's going to, you know, help you pay that off a little quicker. But I think you'll be glad that you have the full 401k in place when you retire, and perhaps maybe your goal is to get that mortgage paid off at least by the time you retire, so that as you're entering that season of life, this mortgage is now gone, which brings your overall lifestyle spending down, which just makes you balance, allows you to balance your budget a bit easier because that biggest expense is now gone. But you don't try to rush it and create this large taxable event and then miss out on the future growth of the 401k. Does that make sense?
Yes, sir. But can I ask one thing real quick?
Sure. Yeah.
What if we split it up into part this year and part this year so it wouldn't be as much tax, just a little, take some out of the 401k?
Yeah, if you were going to do it, I'd absolutely encourage you to split it up. The only downside is, again, I'd rather you leave it there at least until the market recovers, and that's probably halfway through next year if I were to guess. So that would be my only concern on that approach. We appreciate your call. I've got to hit a break, but we'll be right back on MoneyWise. Stay with us.
For American Family Radio, I'm Charles Morris with Haven Ministries, inviting you to anchor your day in God's Word. Pull yourself up by your own bootstraps. We've all heard that phrase. It's about as common as baseball and apple pie. And what a mental picture it gives you. Someone reaching down, grabbing the straps of their boots, lifting themselves higher and higher. It isn't possible, is it? Gravity makes fools of us all. But it's just as impossible to climb up to God by our own good works. The people of Israel were tempted to think that way thousands of years ago. So the Lord sent a prophet named Habakkuk with a message. See, the enemy is puffed up. His desires are not upright, but the righteous person will live by his faith. Don't try to pull yourself up to God. Trust in Christ instead. Get started with Anchor Devotional today. Visit getanchor.com.
If you enjoy this radio program, you will love all of the many different resources waiting for you at moneywise.org. You'll find more powerful wisdom, podcasts, articles, videos, and more from partners like the National Christian Foundation, Sound Mind Investing, and Christian Healthcare Ministries. Connect with a community of thousands of Christians striving to be faithful stewards, and check out all of the free biblical financial advice at moneywise.org.
Investing is more than just returns. It's an expression of who you are and what you value. Does the way you invest your money reflect your identity as a Christian? At Eventide, we design investments for performance and a better world, so you can invest with the confidence to reach your financial goals while remaining true to your Christian values and commitments. We call this investing that makes the world rejoice. More is available at investeventide.com. That's investeventide.com.
Joining us today on MoneyWise on American Family Radio, where we apply the wisdom from God's Word to your financial decisions and choices, recognizing God owns it all, we're stewards, then money is a tool to accomplish God's purposes, yes, to provide, but also to give, to join God where He's at work. What a privilege that is. We also want to be thinking about our long-term savings. Yes, we're to set a portion of what God entrusts to us aside for the future, and that means investing. Well, good news, Bob Dahl joins us each week to share his market analysis and commentary. And Bob is Chief Investment Officer at Crossmark Global Investments, a Wall Street veteran, a frequent contributor on Fox Business, and always grateful for Bob's insights. Good morning, sir.
Happy Tuesday to you, Mr. West.
It's great to have you here, Bob. What do you make of this market? Wow, 4 weeks of some pretty incredible strength, huh?
Yes, I mentioned that to somebody this morning, and they said, but yesterday it was down, and today it's down. It's the yo-yo we're going to have to get used to, Rob. We move forward, and then we move back. As you and I have discussed, this rally we've seen in the last few weeks is the third double-digit percentage gain in the stock market since this bear market started essentially the first of the year. The first two were followed by giving it all back and then some. Time will tell what this one's going to bring, but the good news has come from earnings that are less bad than expected, some signs that inflation is coming back down, and some hope that the Fed might eventually pause and not continue to raise rates and threaten a recession. That's the good news. The bad news is, yeah, but earnings are down. Maybe not as much, but going the wrong direction. The Fed has further to go. Inflation's coming down, but still to unacceptable levels. So you can make a bull list and a bear list with a lot of credibility, and that's what's causing the yo-yo.
Yeah, there's no question about that. Bob, I know you mentioned in your comments this week that you really feel like that largely this strength was driven by the Fed and the possibility that they're going to take their foot off the gas pedal. Obviously, they started meeting today, and that's obviously what the market's going to be watching this week, right?
Yes, it is likely the Fed will raise rates 75 basis points this week. The debate for December, is it another 75 more people? And I'm in the camp think maybe they'll back off to 50. And then we get into the new year, and that's the question mark. Will they go further? Are they going to insist on inflation coming down to 2%, which is what they've said? If they do, Rob, I don't see how we avoid a recession. If they pause and say, let's just see how much impact our increases are going to have on the economy, we may skate through with a soft landing. So lots more questions than answers, unfortunately.
Yeah, no doubt about that. We do have some real data, though, on a number of fronts. You've already referenced a good bit of it. One of those is earnings. Bob, what are you seeing?
So earnings are coming in, as I said, less bad. But earnings estimates are coming down. For 2023, next year, the consensus peaked in July, a little over $250 per share for the S&P 500. That's now down to the 230s, and it seems to come down a little bit every day as economic weakness and more cautionary comments is causing that to happen. My guess is when dust settles and it's a year from now and we're talking, the number will probably be closer to 200 than 230.
Okay. All right. Very good. Bob, what about internationally? I know there's just some real challenges we're seeing across the globe, particularly concentrated in Europe, obviously the UK, but also China and Japan. Any updates there?
Yeah, I would a positive comment. We've gotten some economic statistics out of Germany in the last couple of days, and they're not great, but they're less bad than people feared. The UK is probably in a recession. Continental New York, not yet. And the jury's out whether they'll have one. China, the big discussion these last few days is, are they going to lift some of the COVID bans? If they do, that creates a little more economic activity for China, for Asia that supports China, and frankly, given China's size, for the whole world. So things are a little better than expected.
Okay, very good. And then what about the housing market, Bob? We're getting a lot of questions of folks just wondering if these 400 basis point rise in such a short period of time in mortgage rates plus the looming recession is really just going to cause some havoc in the housing market. Do you feel like we'll hold where we are, or do you see a decline headed into next year?
I think more deterioration in housing is coming. As you know, mortgage rates trigger a lot of question marks about affordability. And as a result, we've seen activity, new and used homes, down somewhere between 25 and 50%, depending which measure you're looking at. But if there's any good news, is that home prices have not come down a whole lot. I fear that they're going to come down a bunch more over the months to come, Rob.
Yeah. Last question, Bob. Obviously, a big election ahead of us. I know you're going to spend a lot of time on that in next week's commentary, but give us a precursor to what you're thinking in terms of the election's impact on the markets.
For starters, the outcome obviously matters for markets, and among the reasons the stock market has rallied is some anticipation that perhaps the Republicans will win not only the House, but perhaps the Senate as well, which would essentially give us divided government, which is often when the market does its best. Yeah. What a Republican Congress would mean is a lot of stymied legislation. We wouldn't have to fear tax increases for corporations or individuals. We probably get less onerous fossil fuel legislation, and the markets prefer that sort of activity. So the way it looks like the election's heading, reasonably market-friendly. And I might just add to that, Rob, there is no 12-month period from Election Day till a year later, exactly a year later to early November, where the stock market has gone down since the 1950s. So it's a great 12-month period. Let's hope history repeats itself.
Yes, we'll take it for sure. Bob, great to have you with us, my friend. Thanks for stopping by.
Thank you, sir.
All right. Bob Dahl, Chief Investment Officer at Crossmark Global Investments, where investments and values intersect. You can learn more or sign up for his weekly Dahl's Deliberations at crossmarkglobal.com. All right. Here in our final moments of the broadcast today, we have room perhaps for one more call, 800-525-7000. To Columbus, Ohio we go. Diane, thanks for your patience. Go right ahead.
Yes, thank you, Rob. I actually had another question come up in my mind while I was waiting, but my primary question is, my mom passed away a year ago, and one of the assets that we received was an inherited IRA.
Yes.
And it was deposited directly into Vanguard, and it's the Vanguard 500 Index Admiral CL, so I'm not okay. I'm just wondering what the best thing is to do with that, what tax consequences there might be. It's down about $10,000 from when it was deposited in January.
So. Yes. Okay. Yeah. So,
leave it there.
Yeah. Based on the SECURE Act, there were some changes with regard to non-spouse beneficiaries of retirement accounts with what's called an inherited IRA. But essentially, you inherited that after January of 2020. Then that's when the new rules kick in, where you're required to withdraw the full balance of an inherited IRA or 401k within 10 years. Have you started taking any withdrawals on that?
I have not. Frankly forgot about it.
Okay. Yeah. So I would check. No problem. I'd check with your CPA. I mean, this is different than a spousal inherited IRA. When it's non-spouse, that's where these new rules kick in. And you certainly want to stay on that schedule that, the IRS puts out, where it has to be fully withdrawn within 10 years. And that's needs to be done, so you don't have any penalties on that. So check with a CPA or tax preparer as to the schedule on when you need to get that out of there. And perhaps you have some catching up to do. With regard to what can remain in there, obviously, I'd leave as much of that in there as you can for the market to recover. You're just in an S&P 500 index. Given that that's where you were as you wrote it down, I'd probably stay put and ride that back up. I think once you recover your losses, though, Diane, it's probably appropriate to think about how's the best way to position that in light of your age and goals and risk tolerance, just to say, should we get a little bit more conservative, or do we want to stay, invested, given that we know we have this kind of fixed 10-year time horizon where this money is ultimately all going to be pulled out. And as you take it out, you'll pay tax on it as income as you withdraw.
All right. Yeah, because most of our assets are in TD Ameritrade. We have some IRAs, SEP for my husband.
Great.
So would there be any tax consequence to transfer it to the TD Ameritrade account if I didn't want to keep it in Vanguard, or is it just simpler to keep it in the Vanguard?
No, you could certainly transfer it over. You just open an inherited IRA. You're going to need to keep it separate. You won't want to commingle that with any other IRA assets, but you'd open a new inherited IRA at TD, which would keep everything in one brokerage firm, and then you could just do a transfer over. And then are you managing that money, or is somebody else making those decisions for you at TD Ameritrade?
I am.
Okay. So then you'd probably just want to bring that in line with your other investments and just have a similar strategy so everything's working together. And then I think the key is, once you get that transferred over, in the meantime, go ahead and contact your CPA. Or if you don't normally use one, let's start a relationship with a CPA find out exactly what that schedule is for the withdrawal, so you can get caught up if you're behind.
Okay. All right. Thank you.
Very good, Diane. Thanks for your call today. We appreciate it. Folks, we covered a lot of ground today. We talked about wealth transfer. We talked about investments. We talked about I-bonds and a whole host of other issues. As we think about applying God's wisdom to our financial decisions and choices, You know, it's about living our lifestyle, giving that which we give away to support God's work and help others. It's also about that which we owe. We want to be dumping debt and reducing our liabilities over time. And then that which we're growing, our long-term savings. And when we do that according to biblical wisdom, we put ourselves in a position to experience God's best. Hey, thanks for being along with us today. Let me say thanks to my team today, Robert Sutherland, Pat Montague, and Devin Patrick. So thankful for their great work that allows me to do what I do every day here on the air. I hope you have a great rest of your day, and you'll come back and join us tomorrow for another edition of MoneyWise. We'll see you then.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.